Welcome back to Extension 720 on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is a familiar name to Chicago football fans. Kelvin Hayden was a star player at Hubbard in the city, standout at the University of Illinois, and a one-time Chicago Bear. But the cornerback is probably known most for his first career interception against the Bears in the Super Bowl. Grossman.
Look out here. He's intercepted. Picked off by Kelvin Hayden. And Hayden's still running inside the 20, and Hayden may run it back all the way. He does! Kelvin Hayden!
That pick six sealed the win for his then Indianapolis Colts. What a moment for a young football player. Since then, Hayden has played for several teams, including the Bears. He stepped away from football back in 2014. But he continues to live in the Chicago area. He co-owns a gym in the South Loop. He's also involved in charity work, and he'll be part of the huge event at Wrigley Field this weekend. On May 18th, Orange Theory is bringing out a ton of people to work out and not only try to break a world record, but to raise money to help find a cure for ALS. Kelvin Hayden is in studio with me. Brad Ehrlich, as well as the CEO of Orange Theory in Illinois. Guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Kelvin, this is why this event? What is it about Orange Theory and this event at Wrigley Field that got your attention?
Well, the part about just finding a cure for ALS, one of my teammates, when I played with the Indianapolis Colts, his dad suffered from ALS. And it was at that time, it was back in 2006, where a lot of guys wasn't much aware of the disease as much as it was when he started the Ice Bucket Challenge. Mm-hmm. So once the Ice Bucket Challenge, a lot of people got aware of the disease and what was going on. So it caught my attention when Michelle, she's the owner over at Orange Theory in South Loop. When she brought it to my attention, it was something that caught it right away, and I was all aboard from day one.
Brad, it seems that to raise money for anything these days, you have to make a splash. We talked about the Ice Bucket Challenge, which did wonders for ALS a couple years back. Why do this? Why go for a high-intensity workout and try to break the world record at Wrigley Field?
You know, we're trying to move for people who can't. I mean, quite literally, that disease strips a person's ability to be able to move around. And what we do at Orange Theory Fitness is we're all about activating the body. As a matter of fact, our tagline is more life. What we do inside the gym, inside those four walls, everything we do is about having more life outside those walls. So what could we do? Well, with the ALS Challenge, we're moving for those who can't. And we decided, you know, in 2012, a whole bunch of us took everything and put it on the line to start something here called Orange Theory Fitness. And these are everyday neighbors, people, Chicagoans that you know and you interact with. And we've grown something here. Mm-hmm. I mean, from 2012, we've gone from nothing. You know, people used to call it orange therapy, you know, and they thought maybe we sold orange smoothies. That in such a short period of time, here we are, 2019, we've got 50-plus locations. We're extending the quality and quantity of people's life. And we as owners, all of us together, got together and said, you know what? It's been a while since an Ice Bucket Challenge. It's been a while since there's been something so positive. What could we do? And we came up with the idea.
It's very interesting to me because Orange Theory has really taken off, as you just mentioned, all of the, obviously, the locations and the members. But it really is this idea of, best way to put it, is this high-intensity competitive workout, this competitive exercising where people have really gotten into the idea of competing against one another to get their fitness in. Where do you think that comes from, where that desire and that drive for people to want more out of their exercise experience?
I think it's part of human nature. I think once you attain something, you always raise your sights higher and go after something bigger. You know, I'm sure for Kelvin, just getting into the NFL was just like, wow, I'm here. But then suddenly there's this thing called the Super Bowl. And then it's like, oh, there's new sights and a new goal and a new challenge. And
that's new contracts.
And a new contract. And that's part of what it is. And I think one of the things, if we can get over the anxiety that we actually wear heart rate monitors inside of our studios, and that's a big issue. It takes to have someone come in that wants to make a positive change in their life and they want to get healthy, and suddenly we take a device, which can be on your wrist or on your chest or whatever, and we strap it to you. We start measuring quite literally the performance of your body, right? That can cause a ton of anxiety. But if you can just get over that hump right there, that little piece of tool, getting in tune with your body, will help bring you to the next plateau, which is just amazing.
That's a great transition. That was Brad Ehrlich. He's the CEO for Orange Theory Illinois. And we're talking about the big workout at Wrigley Field, which everybody's talking about, which is going to be this Saturday at Wrigley Field, try and break a world record for high-intensity workouts. Okay, so Kelvin, this is important to you. Why does this kind of, we talked about the ALS component, but just the exercise, the the concept of working out. You co-own a gym. Mm-hmm. You obviously subscribe to everything that Brad is talking about. Where does that come from? Is that something that the discipline that when you started being an athlete?
I think so. When you're an athlete, you're always looking to get better. So when I retired, you know, I was still looking to get better. I felt like if I just say, oh, I'm retired, I can kick my feet up, you know, go to a beach and, you know, just disappear, I think I would be on the downward part of improvement versus the upper part. Yeah, so when I started working out, I had a few friends. Quick story, we was in California and we was doing Runyon Canyon, and it was maybe four of us. And we said, when we get back to Chicago, we should, you know, continue to keep this thing rolling. So once we did that, four became 10, 10 became 12, then, you know, it just took off. So I said, why not open a gym?
Are you surprised at how the evolution of working out, you know, from your early days at the University of Illinois and what people knew about working out and all the computer science that went into it, to where you're at now? I mean, to in 2019, it seems like we've gone overload with data and the ability to really understand what our bodies are doing.
True. Shout out to social media. I think social media kind of helped it a lot because, like Brad was saying, that, you know, in life, you're a competitor already. So when you want to compete, it doesn't have to be in a reward competing. You're just competing to get yourself better. So you have your own in self challenge. And I was all for that. Once you realize that what you want to improve on, what your goals are, why not just set them and achieve them?
Kelvin Hayden's my guest tonight here on Extension 720. This episode is kind of loosely themed around the idea of performance and performance anxiety. Mm. I think about athletes in that regard because you, from the early days of your career at Hubbard to the biggest stage in sports at the Super Bowl, have had different levels of performance. Do you see being an athlete and being on the football field as a performance?
Yes, of course. It's a performance-based league. The day you don't perform, the day you're looking for someone to replace you. So you always have to look at that. It's just not practice. It's the game, of course. It's also when you're alone and you're training for it because you're competing for maybe 32 spots in the NFL. So you try your best, and when you try your best, you want to prepare as best as you could. So, and leave no doubt. So the main thing is just prepare yourself when your goals are set and be ready when it's time to perform.
If you watch the sport on television, you see a lot of, I mean, they really gear it towards performance. Everything's about the drama. They're really pushing the broadcast. When you actually are at a game or even have the good fortune of ever being on a sideline, the game moves a lot slower in the way that you're athletes and you're waiting for your moment and you get your moment, then there's time. It's a different kind of experience. How much of it is it about understanding the game and the discipline of what you can do and what you can do with your body, and how much of it is being in the right space at the right time for a possibility of that performance?
As a player, we always talk about preparation and opportunity. When preparation meets opportunity, you show up. So, but also, like you said, it's a lot goes into it. It's more of the little things than the big things. People always see the end result, but they don't see what the work you put in, the preparation you put in, the film you watch, the extra work you put in as far as making your breaks. You know, I play with the position of corner. One step can be disastrous for you. So you always want to prepare yourself and put yourself in a position to make those plays. And when it happens, you show up.
The position of cornerback is probably the most thankless and toughest position to play in football because you're having to respond to what the offense is trying to do. The receiver knows where he's going. You don't necessarily. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you prepare to understand that stuff.
Yeah.
Is that a tough position to play in football? Is it tough to be in a position where it's all about response?
I think so, but it also comes to where you prepare because it's a lot of keys that you can pay attention to let you know what possibly can happen. So you're kind of prepared, mentally prepared, but not physically prepared for what's going to happen. So when that happens, like, for example, you may have a max protection formation. People may not understand it. But max protection means that, you know, they're not max protection to throw the ball 5 yards. They're protecting max protection to throw the ball deep. And if you recognize that, then half the battle's won.
You're talking about the offensive line and how they're protecting the quarterback.
Exactly.
Right?
So as a defender, you always have to be aware. And we always talk about the technique and your keys. Your technique will put you in a position, and your keys will get you over the top.
Oh, man, I could talk about this all night. I really could do a 3-hour show just on max protection and reading your keys. People know this of me. All right, so take us to the Super Bowl, because this is a show that we're talking about performance and performance anxiety. What is it like to play in a Super Bowl and to be in the position you were at when you can't even say it as a Bears fan, but when you won the Super Bowl for that one team against that one team?
Talk about anxiety and pressure. You know the whole world's watching.
You do know the whole world.
Yeah, you do, and you recognize that fast because, you know, everybody says this is the one of the most watched events in the whole world. So once you get that out your mind and realize that it's, you know, it's just another game, but you know the results behind it is very important. But it's just about preparation. I think, honestly, believe, like, you know, at the end of the day, you still treat it like a game, but as your anxiety takes you to another level. But, you know, you just take it as another game and prepare yourself as much as if it was just the first game.
What do you remember about that play? It's so many
years
now.
I didn't step out of bounds.
That's the
thing I didn't remember. So I remember scoring a touchdown, and Coach Dungy, at the time, he was my coach. He asked me, he's like, did you step out of bounds? I said, I don't think so. He said, well, I think you kind of did, you know. So we all were prepared. You know, we were 50-50 on the sideline. Guys were saying, I think you stepped out. And, you know, as a competitor, you're like, no, I didn't. And that was the most memorable part about it because everything else became easy because we practiced it. You know, when guys get an interception in practice, we practice on making a wall to the end zone. And every interception that a guy got in practice, we always finish. So it was something, like I said, if you prepare yourself, like every guy on our team did, prepare yourself to, you know, for when stuff happens.
The last question I'll ask about is just the after effect. You win the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and the media after the fact, and the fans in Indianapolis. What was it like to be a folk hero, a star who won your team a championship?
You know what? I was more happy for the veterans on the team because, you know, just being a fan of the Colts growing up, Marvin Harrison being my favorite player, just to see the tragedy losses they would take from the New England Patriots just to get to the Super Bowl, you know, AFC championship game, divisional rounds, stuff like that. So, and see the work that these guys put in and week out, me being a young guy, it's contagious. So just watching Peyton Manning, the reigning NFL MVP, seeing him the first guy in the locker room, it's kind of like, wow, like, you know, how dare I come in with confidence and arrogance because this guy is here showing up, the first guy there and the last one to leave. So it was a great run for me, myself, my teammates, and like I said, those guys, man, I was just more happy for them than more than anything.
You got a chance to beat your hometown team mm-hmm. in the Bears in the yep. Super Bowl, mm-hmm. but you also got a chance to play for the Bears. Mm-hmm. What did it mean to get a chance to play for a franchise that you grew up watching?
It was everything. To actually come back home and finish my career back here in Chicago, it was basically like a dream. It was something that, you know, you can't even imagine as a player. To play against the team that I grew up watching and being, you know, Bears being one of my favorite teams growing up, and actually play against them in the Super Bowl, it was amazing. And then also to get back here and finish my career with, you know, the McCaskies and, you know, just the historical reign and honor behind being a Chicago Bear. It was everything for me.
So to this weekend, you'll be there. It's a big part mm-hmm. of the trying to break the world's record when it comes to high-intensity workouts at Wrigley Field. This is coming up on Saturday for Orange Theory and finding a cure for ALS. Mm-hmm. For you, I mean, do you show everybody up? Do you try to go harder than everybody else? I mean, are you going to win this thing? Is there a way to win? Do you win?
I know, right? You know, being a competitor, you just want to show up. You know, sometimes when you show up, you show out. So it's kind of one of those things. This, you know, just everybody come out, you know, give it your all, give it your best. Like Brad said, hey, we're doing it for a great cause. And that great cause is a cause behind great people.
Now, Brad, this is this weekend, and where can people go to sign up? And this is going to be in the morning at Wrigley Field, right?
Sure, yeah. You can go online to worldslargesthiitclass.com, world's largest hit with two eyes, class.com, or you could just Google search and you can find it. You can get the tickets online.
There you go. Brad Ehrlich is the CEO of Orange Theory Illinois. Kelvin Hayden, who owns a Carpe Diem, the gym in the South Loop, is also a former Chicago Bear and a Super Bowl hero.
Champion. There it is.
Begrudgingly, we offer you that. Kelvin, thanks so much for being in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.